love to me. I don't know why he cared. Part 3 of The Blind Walk by Faith, and Jesus gives them sight. Part 3, The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 674, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 1039, since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. The Bible reads, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." I believe that one of the things that Jesus was doing in the world while he was here was not just healing people and raising the dead and healing lepers and so forth, but he was really preparing the way for pure salvation by faith in Christ. And this is why over and over again, Jesus, I believe, wanting to point out that there is power in faith in God. In fact, he said that, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And I believe while he was doing all of this healing and opening the eyes of the blind and giving hearing to the deaf, raising the dead, he would point out something along these lines. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? In other words, do you believe that I can do this? Do you have the faith in me to do this? Jesus was at the same time showing the power of faith, that there's power through faith in God, through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, not only to heal you physically, but I want to get you to the point where I can heal you, where you will understand that I will heal you and can heal you spiritually, the source of all of your problems and ills and diseases. I can save your soul from sin and the punishment of sin. Jesus was pointing out all along the way that there's power in faith. Do you believe? Do you have the kind of faith that you know God wants you to have? Do you have the faith in Jesus Christ to save your soul and to see your life changed? Jesus is asking you tonight, do you believe that I am able to do this, whatever it is? I was talking with a man today, and he was telling me, he's a veteran, he was telling me how many veterans are really suffering with PTSD and other mental issues, and they're really hurting. And he was telling me about the counseling outfits and so forth. The question comes up, how many of these outfits are faith-based? How many of these outfits, these counselors, are pointing these men and women to Jesus? How many churches have a ministry to sick veterans, encouraging them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is power in faith in God? And so Jesus was paving the way. He was establishing this so that people will understand one day that your soul's salvation will be by faith in me. Not doing works, not doing good works, not singing in the choir, not being a preacher, not helping people out, but faith in me. Through faith in Jesus Christ, I can solve your biggest problem. Verse 29, then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in faith believing. As you know, Lord, you put in my heart the other day when I was praying with my baby boy in the car that we need to be people who are purpose-driven in our prayers, that we ought not to say anything we don't mean, that we ought not to ask anything we don't believe you can do and will do. And so, Holy Father God, help us to be purpose-driven prayers. Help everybody right now to pray for the salvation of others, to pray for a burden or a problem that they have in their lives, in faith, believing. Have mercy and grace upon us for Jesus Christ's sake, and forgive us of our sin of a lack of faith in you. So many millions of lives are defeated and down and out because people refuse to have faith in God, refuse to have faith in Jesus Christ, refuse to understand that there's power in faith in you. So forgive us of that sin, and forgive us of all of our sins, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, ungodliness of thought, word, and deed. But not only that, cleanse us of the taint of the world on us, being caught up and tussling and bustling with the world, we get dirty. And Lord, we pray that you'd cleanse us and make us whiter than snow on the inside through the blood of Christ. And Lord, help us not to worry about racism. Help us not to worry about the evil of others. Lord, help us to, as your people, to confess our sins and to repent of our sins. Help all of us to take heed to the message last night from your holy word that talks about how that we as Christians ought to rejoice evermore, because you love not only a cheerful giver, but a cheerful, winsome Christian witness for your glory, your praise, and your honor. And Holy Father God, we know that the devil is fighting against us. Right now it seems placid, as it always does before the devil attacks. Lord, help these folks today, many who are serving here tonight, Lord, not get sucked into the devil's trap, but to be prayerful, to be sober-minded, to be vigilant, to be watchful, just because things seem so peaceful right now, the devil is over in that corner ready to pounce. Help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Help us not to bite the bait. Cast out the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, and foolishness out of the hearts of people who have that problem, that issue. Break all of us and make us and mold us to be what you would have us to be. Save those who are lost among us and out there. We thank you for the hundreds who come every night from around the world and every week into the thousands. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor. We cast all of our cares and burdens and worries upon you. Fill us with your peace and with your joy. And Holy Father God, help everybody here and everybody out there to believe in you, to have faith in God, and pray to you like they believe in you and have faith in you. And they will be amazed how the joy will return, how they will be able to rejoice evermore. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Save over 3 million souls through the preaching of the gospel through this pulpit. We know that you will. We know that you can. We know that's where your heart is, because this is your will, for you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Lord, we are reminded tonight from your holy word and by your Holy Spirit, it is not by might nor by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord. So demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit once again. Dig down deep in all of our hearts. Glorify your holy name, Heavenly Father. Lift up your holy Son's name, Jesus Christ, and bind Satan, the devil, not only from us during this service, but even after this service. Thank you, Lord, for Danae and Aniqua working hard to finish a project last night, all into the wee hours of the morning. That would be a blessing, we pray, to millions. Thank you, Lord, for them sticking by the stuff and hanging in there, waiting on things to get it done, and got it done. For your glory, praise, and honor. And Lord, help us to focus on doing the follow-up work. Thank you, Lord, for my oldest daughter, Danny, helping with Gospel Light Society, International Ministries, and Gospel Light House of Prayer here today in a big way, GLM as well. And we thank you, Lord, for her help in that, and thank you, Lord, for her help down through the years, and particularly over the past 2 years in another way. And we pray that you would open up great doors for her to serve you and to fulfill the calling on her life that you have placed on her life since birth. Thank you, Lord, for Danita's help on a project today as well. And it was pretty tough for her to help with that project, but we thank you, Lord. And these are young ladies who are doing it big on their own and together. They stay together and they are still serving here and working here in the ministry to help us to reach the thousands and to answer all of the letters and emails and everything that we get for thousands of folks. Literally thousands of folks have sent in prayer requests, and Lord, I thank you for the privilege. And we all thank you for the privilege to pray for them. And we thank you for now that the children are older, how they're helping now in more ways and bigger ways. And help them all to do it joyfully and cheerfully for your glory, your praise, and your honor. It is a joy and a privilege. And we thank you for all that you have blessed us with down through the years and how you've blessed us and used us. And we pray that you would continue to break us, make us, and mold us, and use us for your glory, that others would come to know your Savior before it is eternally too late, and before this country and before this world is destroyed. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say to you again tonight that by the grace of God, we're going to hear from God, but we won't be long. Daniel Whedon said, Jesus touched the blind men as if his finger were the conductor of the power. But the act served to show that the cure was no accidental coincidence. It visibly manifested that the work was his. This act shows that the faith a person has shall be justified, sustained, and rewarded. Thus, faith is a readiness to receive of God. Did you get that? Faith is a readiness to receive of God. Though we have no merit to deserve a reward or a gift or a blessing, yet it is the right state of soul to receive God's truth, God's grace, and God's mercy. I fear, end of quote, I fear that so many of you do not have a true relationship with God. You have not obeyed Jesus Christ by having faith in God. And so many Christians are this way today, miserable, sad, despondent, defeated, because they're still trying to get other people to make them feel good. And you have people today who will sell their soul almost to get somebody to make them feel good, instead of doing it the right way and having faith in God and trusting in Him and having some Holy Spirit biblical convictions that you will not compromise just to get somebody to like you. It is so sad how people who claim to be Christians are so impacted by peer pressure and wanting to be in the in crowd, wanting to be accepted, and they will compromise their virginity, they will compromise their convictions, they will betray Christ because they refuse to obey Christ when He said simply, have faith in God. Some of you are mentally unstable because you don't have faith in God. You're not trusting in the Jesus who saved you. If you were honest, you would tell somebody that you feel like you're losing your mind. One man who just today, a pastor, when if you look at him, you would think he's just as normal and straightforward and happy as he can be. But he survived, and this is a strange mix of words to me. He survived a suicide attempt. Now that's a strange set of words to me. He survived a suicide attempt. But he came back from the dead to tell the church something I've been telling the church for years. And that is, you need to be honest. You need to tell the truth about your pain, about what you're going through. Tell the truth about your temptations, your failures, your struggles. And stop believing the lie that the peer pressure is putting on you. You can't be honest as a man and say you're tempted with women because you got these little metrosexuals around you, controlled and dominated by their wives. They are henpecked, and say stupid things like, "Oh, I'm never tempted, man. Oh, man, I'm well past that now. You know, I'm tempted. I'm not tempted with that fine woman in those tight skinny jeans." You're a lie out of hell. You need to tell the truth and shame the devil. And get around some real men. And some of you women need to get around some real women. Not to I'm not talking about complaining and whining and trying to get people drawn into your pity party. But tell the truth about your struggles, because this pastor who tried to kill himself, but God prevented it. Now, you know that's bad when you try to kill yourself and you're not successful. That's some crazy stuff to me. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, the preachers of the gospel in the book of Acts in the early church, they were in jail, held by the gods. God himself caused an earthquake and destroyed the jail and letting his preachers out. And the Roman gods were getting ready to kill themselves. These preachers were trying to save these people from committing suicide, and here we got preachers committing suicide today. Wow, we're going backwards. That's not the church. That's not Christ, my dear friend. Preachers ought to be trying to prevent people from committing suicide lest they go to hell, not committing suicide. And there are many reasons why Jesus does not want you to do that. Like this preacher said, who almost killed himself. People in the church, we hear this a lot today. I've been preaching this for years. All this fake Christianity, all this high talk about I'm highly favored and I'm the head and not the tail, and people have believed this stuff and believe the lies of the prosperity of the gospel, and these people are catching hell and are in debt, trying to fake it until they make it. And you know what? Some people are contemplating committing suicide because they're proud. They can't admit that they have failed. They cannot admit that they have done wrong, that they are struggling with something. They're too proud and stubborn and rebellious and high-minded about themselves. That's what's happening, people. This is not a mystery. There's some couples too ashamed, too embarrassed to admit they're having troubles, because they're supposed to be the perfect little, you know, Pastor so-and-so and Dr. Dobson and them. You know, they look like they just have just a wonderful relationship. They don't know what kind of hell Dr. Dobson and Mrs. Dobson have been through to stay together. I assure you this, it has not been pretty all of the time. I was happy to hear one time when Dr. Dobson said, "You know what, I had to pull my son out of college." Why? Because he was disobedient. He was rebellious. And we weren't going to waste that money taking have him going to college. He's raised in hell. I was glad to hear they had some problems. We all do. Be honest. Tell the truth and shame the devil. That's how you get the victory. And that's how you don't lose your mind up in here. And so, ladies and gentlemen, from this account of two blind men seeking their healing from Jesus, we have seen the significance of walking by faith and not by sight, in a very real sense here, but you know what we're talking about spiritually. Real faith is active faith, not passive. The blind men showed that they believed by literally walking by faith and not by sight. Following a Jesus they could not see, they latched on to the object of their faith, Jesus Christ. They did not know how they would get to him. They did not know the steps they would take or the path they would walk, and neither have you, neither did you have all of that information when you were blindly being led to Jesus. You didn't know what you were getting into. I know I didn't. All I remember is Romans 10:9 and 13. I said, all right, I believe. Let's pray. And this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. For I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. And the rest is history. But these blind men, they proceeded anyway by faith in the darkness to the crystal staircase. The blind men also showed their faith through their words. They confessed with their mouth that Jesus was the Son of David, yea, the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. And allow me to remind you, my beloved, that all of these people who were seeking healing and seeking the raising of the dead and lepers being healed, the Gentile general, all of these people were serious. They were not playing. They had faith in Jesus Christ. How about you tonight? Do you have that kind of faith? Since they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, their confession showed that they expected him to carry out the prophesied messianic duties, such as giving sight to the blind. The attitude was, we're included. By the way, do you have that kind of faith? Do you have the faith to understand that even though the world may not like you, even the white folks may not like you because you're black, even though black folks may not like you because you're white, do you have the kind of faith that you're included? You're included? No matter your malady, no matter your illness, no matter your blindness, your inability to hear, you're included in the promises of the Messiah. And I'm here to tell you, once that can hit home in your heart, you'll have a pep in your step. And when people reject you and don't like you, it won't bother you as much, because you are a part of the beloved. You are accepted. I was talking with someone today, and he said he doesn't have any friends. I said, are you saved? Because if you're saved, you have a friend in Jesus. In fact, you have the best friend of all time. You are never alone. We hear a whole lot today about people being alone, lonely. You're probably in the best situation for yourself. But if you are a child of God, you're never lonely, because God is with you. And he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's the best friend you'll ever have, I assure you. In fact, God will allow some people in your life to go away. People you thought were your friends, family members, who will forsake you, turn against you for no reason, or a reason that was not valid, or is not valid. But God will never do that. Jesus will never do that. And so there's no way that you can be lonely if you have Jesus, if you have God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the blind men kept following Jesus. They begged him. They pleaded with him, have mercy on us. Those brothers said, hey, we're included. We are accepted. We know we got some issues, but we're included in your promises. And so they were determined. It's a wonderful feeling to be included in the Beloved, to be accepted by God, to be accepted by Christ, because it does not matter whether other wicked, sinful people accept you or not. It makes no difference whether your family or friends accept you or not. Your co-workers, they're going to, I don't care how you try, how much you try, if you are born again Christian, you're going to look strange to your co-workers. Don't worry about it. Stop trying to fit in. And just be what God wants you to be. Pray without ceasing every day. And God will raise you up to the top. Just like he did Joseph. Just like he did Daniel. But if you compromise and you reject God and you turn away from God, turn away from Jesus and act like you're ashamed of Jesus and ashamed of God, you're going to lose every time. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the journey of these blind men was not over. Verse 28 tells us that Jesus entered into the house. Some believe Peter's house, where he and his disciples had been staying. Then the text says the blind men came to him. Jesus did not stop to address the concerns necessarily of the blind men. He was there. He was paying attention. Jesus did not stop to address it per se. Jesus heard them crying out. They were not whispering like some of you do, where nobody can hear you. God can't even hear you. You talk so low. The blind, you know why? Because you really don't believe. You're not desperate enough. Some of you talk so low. Some of you Christians talk so low. Jesus, this is your cry. Please have mercy on me. Now these folks, they were not playing. They were crying out, Jesus, Jesus, Messiah, please have mercy on us and heal our eyes. Jesus knew what they wanted, but he did not stop to interact with them, or at least we don't see this in the passage. He wanted to test their faith, and the Lord would do this with you as well.
You say, why does he want to test our faith?
Because, listen to me, God is extremely wise. You know why you have not received certain things you've been praying for 10 and 15 years? Because God wants to know if you're for real before he blesses you with it. He wants to know that you're down with him through thick and thin, that you're not just one of these people who they have their hand out all the time, but they don't want to love him back and truly trust in him and fear him and obey him and be faithful to him. God's not going to do that. This is why things may take a long time for you to come to pass. God's testing you. God is checking you out. We all know God is faithful, but are we faithful? Are you faithful? Are you real about your requests? Either way, the blind man persisted. And that is another mark of true faith, is it not? Persistence. True faith is persistent faith. Jesus talked about it. He used a powerful word over in Luke. Importunate. They so strongly believed, Daniel White the Fourth, that Jesus would and could heal them, that they followed Jesus into a place where they did not belong. They would not let the matter go until they had an answer. They were persistent. They stuck by the stuff. They hung in there. They did not quit. They believed in God. They believed in Jesus. And they believed that Jesus could heal them. So Jesus asked them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" And they said unto him, "Yes, Lord." In the King James, "Yea, Lord. We know you can do it." Only after they verbally confirmed their faith did Jesus touch their eyes and heal them. Take note of his words. "According to your faith, be it unto you." How's your faith tonight, dear friend? I'm trying to encourage you through this message to have faith in God again. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ again. Stop looking downcast and defeated and disgusted and contemplating suicide, and put your faith in God. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God is far bigger than your problems. The devil is seeking to destroy your life. Don't let him. Have faith in God. Pray to God like these two blind men. And I think, even though I have a whole lot more to say, I think I'll stop right there tonight. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you for your holy word, your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your leadership, your guidance, and your direction. Lord, help all of us to be like the two blind men. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And Lord, help us to pray in faith, believing, and to have strong faith in your power, that whatever needs to be done, you can do it, and you will do it if we pray according to your will. Have mercy and grace upon us all, and for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins, our lack of faith, therefore our disobedience, and all of the garbage and the trash that is built up in our lives simply because we don't have faith in you as we should. And grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, and recover us from the snare of the devil, and help us to get back on track and to have faith in you, Holy Father God, to have faith in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'll help us to repent of our sins and to be victorious again. Save those who are lost around among us tonight and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, now if you are with us tonight and you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to have faith in God. You need to have faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him right now, so that your soul can be saved from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin in an eternal hell, and so that your soul can go to heaven to be with God. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have failed God. We all have disappointed God. We all have fallen short of God's standard. Every last one of us makes no difference if you live in Hollywood or Bollywood. We all have done wrong in God's sight, and so therefore we're all guilty. No matter how rich you are or poor, no matter how white you are or black, no matter if you're pretty or ugly, makes no difference. We're all guilty before God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment for sin, always. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of our sins. Our body goes to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we never trust Christ as Savior. If we trust Christ as Savior, we can go to heaven. Accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you don't have to do anything else to go to hell. You're on your way right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a bad place, bad news. But I have good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." So just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And I'll be glad to lead you in prayer. For here is God's promise on it. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ? Follow me in prayer right now. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Jesus loved me.